All right, again, the rudder is going to turn a little bit. We've got about a little less than 10 minutes to go here, and I want to introduce a guy at the end, the youngster of the group here, Nate Hammond, who I'm not going to say much about who or what he is, because you can Google him online. He's current and he's flying, and for those of you that are here at Oshkosh, you'll be able to see him this afternoon, hopefully, if the weather improves, and Wednesday night. And this is a guy that flies a chipmunk. It's a super chipmunk, and I'll let him describe some of the differences and nuances of the super chipmunk. I was first involved in watching Artie Scholl way back when, and it was one of the greatest aerobatic in terms of smoothness. The airplane looked great. Of course, it had the big rudder, and I'll let you talk about all that kind of stuff. But this is the kind of airplane that Nate flies. And if you all are here on Wednesday night, he's the guy that's going to be flying the airplane that's going to be on fire up there. Okay, he puts on a tremendous night show. And without that, I'll just turn it over to Nate and let him talk a little bit about his airplane and what he does. He's also a skywriter, by the way, and he can talk about that also. So Nate, you got it.
So I come from the land of misfit airplanes. We took a perfect chipmunk and just started cutting it up. So the supers. The Gypsy was a great engine, but 145 horsepower, and more horsepower is always better. So originally, with Harold Cryer, Skip Volk, and Art Scholl, of course, those were the three majors that took a normal chipmunk and started converting it into supers. And they started with the engine. They went to Ranger engines, same thing you'd see on the Cornells, the PT airplanes, the 200 horsepower. That wasn't enough, so then they switched over to the GO435, GO480 Lycomings. Always wanting more reliability. Eventually, we started putting IO540s in the Lycoming version, so 300 horsepower engines in the front, so no replacement for displacement, right? More horsepower is always better. Part of the other thing that we do to turn it into a super, and understand that all of them are different, because every single one of these that becomes a super goes into the experimental category, and so the list is unending of the things you can do.
Right.
But majority is we cut the wings, so we will clip the wings about 36 inches on each side, just so that the roll rate gets a little bit better, and we reskin everything. So the wing is a metal leading edge, but fabric after the spar on all the standard aircraft. Mm-hmm. And so we get rid of the fabric and we skin it with aluminum, and then on some of them we even reskin the fuselage with heavier metal, so that it has a little more torsional stability when you're
stiffer.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's still an old lady of an airplane, right? It's 65 years old, so we treat it as such. When we're not out there yanking and banking really hard on the airplane, it's still a 4G airplane in the box when we're flying it. We want it to last a long time. There's no sense abusing the airplane. Mm-hmm. But some of the other things that we'll do to make a super a little more mission ready, if you will, is we remove some of the British, some of the Canadian artifacts, such as the brake system they were talking about, the handbrake. Mm-hmm.
That's gone.
It's all gone. So we went with just standard tow brakes, mm-hmm. like most airplanes today, mainly so that we can find parts readily available on the road.
Yep.
And same thing with the flap system. We ended up taking out the flap handle and putting in electric flaps, mm-hmm. Just so that we've got more room in the cockpit to operate. Now, our airplane is kind of special. We like to think it's the most famous airplane at Oshkosh that nobody knows, only because generally we're skywriting with this airplane. So Richard was talking about the fuel capacity, and our aircraft was the same way. We only had 30 gallons of fuel on board, but we have an auxiliary tank that holds another 30 gallons. And for Oshkosh and air shows, we can put smoke oil in that. And so we carry 30 gallons of smoke oil, 30 gallons of fuel, and we can go up over top, and you'll see us skywriting generally in the mornings and in the afternoons, as long as the weather cooperates, mm-hmm. Over top of Oshkosh. Mm-hmm. And then, like you mentioned, Wednesday night and Saturday night, we also we play with fireworks. So we strap on about 200 pounds of pyro onto the airplane. We bolt it onto the wingtips, and we set the airplane on fire, which is all good as long as it goes as according to plan, right? As we want it to go.
Uh-huh.
And so at that point, you're flying aerobatics at night with the airplane on fire, and we design it so it's always safe. We can always roll wings level at any point and just fly non-aerobatically. But it's something special when you can flip on the pyro and see the sparks coming off the wingtips.
How did you get trained? I'm just curious as to how do you get trained to do night aerobatics with fires on your wings?
So it starts off as just being there. 90% is always just showing up. This aircraft, we go back a long way. I started off as a ramp rat with this kid. With a rag when I was 10 years old, following the airplane around on the airshow circuit, wiping it down whenever I got a chance. My father started working on the airplane. He's a mechanic, and he started ferrying the airplane. So I was around it a lot and had the opportunity to be around and in around the airplane. And when I turned 18, got a commercial license, I started ferrying the airplane and became the crew chief for its previous owner, Steve Oliver. See, this aircraft was branded as the Pepsi Skyrider for years and years and years. And so I crewed this airplane from show to show and then eventually started to skywrite with it. You know, it's always ears open, mouth shut, and you soak up as much information. So sitting with these gentlemen is always wonderful because you get all that information, you just soak it up. And so that's how I was taught to skywrite. There was no dual, let's go out and practice. It was I got a phone call on a Thursday night that said, hey, you've got to go skywrite Saturday. You better go practice tomorrow Friday. And that was my introduction to skywriting.
Wow.
And then the air shows was kind of the same way. Now I had been flying air shows for a long time, other aircraft, Cubs, Champs, and whatnot, decathlons. But I got carted in this airplane just as a backup. When Steve Oliver was flying the airplane, if something happened to Steve, if he tripped and broke his ankle or something, we needed to be able to salvage the air show. And so I was carted in the airplane so that I could operate and fly the airplane. And actually, one of my first air shows that I flew in the airplane kind of came on a whim. Steve was in good shape, and he said, you know what, I think it's time. Why don't you go fly the airplane? And so I flew the air show, and as I came taxiing in, I look over and I see Steve Oliver getting in the clap car, waving to the crowd as I've taxied the airplane in. So, you know, it's always a fun way to start, right? The glory of air shows.
Wow.
But it's a wonderful airplane, and it still retains all the beauty that is a chipmunk. The control harmony is still there. The ailerons, the rudder, and you talked about it. The balance is just phenomenal.
You could have picked any airplane, but you're very happy that you've chosen.
I'm very happy. And in fact, I tell everybody it's my one airplane. Now, I haven't flown a Corsair, right? So we got to leave the door open. Yeah. But if I was destined to fly one airplane the rest of my day, it's honestly the chipmunk. It's a beautiful airplane. With the larger engine, of course, we cruise a little bit faster. Richard's going 90 knots. Yeah. I can do about 130. Yeah. But then at the same time, it does everything that I could ever ask. Big wide gear, and you can take it off airport. It loves the grass. And then if you get a wild hair, you push the stick around and
away you go.
Around you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I can say thank you for your performances in the past, and we look forward to Wednesday night for sure and this afternoon. Fly safe out there because, it's a dangerous business, as we all know. We look forward to it. I hadn't seen that many night shows before, and I got to say, it is spectacular. And those that are here, hopefully the weather will be clear and we'll have a good time. Going to a quick trivia, and Richard and I talked about this, and we were going to ask the audience. The audience is not here, obviously, but and some of you guys may or may not know. Richard, I don't think, no, he didn't know, but a famous chipmunk aerobatic pilot named Art Scholl used to fly shows all over the world, the Pennzoil, the famous Pennzoil, you know, a logo on the side and all that, but he also had a dog that flew with him, and I was just wondering if anybody might know the name of the dog that flew with him.
That's all right.
Well, okay. I'll have to step back because I certainly know this story. So I'll give them a chance.
Pancho?
No, it's not Pancho.
Okay.
All right, Nate, you could be the winner.
So the dog was Aileron.
There you go. That is absolutely correct.
Aileron rode with him everywhere and then would run out and sit on the wingtip as he would taxi it and ride the wingtip all the way.
Okay. I hadn't heard that part of the story, but Aileron was the name of the dog.
Aileron.
And so you win today.
And even though I didn't know the answer, I'm not going to get into a flap about it.
Okay. Thank you very much. But I will end it. I think our time is up at this point, and I will thank all of you gentlemen for all the the stories. Thank you for your service with the Royal Canadian Air Force. We appreciate that very much, a close ally. I will say the only time I had contact with the Royal Canadian Air Force was in Winnipeg, and they taught me how to play a game called CRUD up there on a pool table.
Okay.
But then also back in my flying days, we did fly against some. I was an F-16 pilot, and I flew against some CFA teams. And I got to say, I think as I remember in the dissimilar air combat arena, I think we split. I think it was 1-1. So you guys have some very good pilots up there, and we appreciate being able to work with them.
Yeah.
But otherwise, hey, I'll say happy birthday to the chipmunk. Thank you so much for being here, for having a good time, for being in Oshkosh, and all of you guys, fly safe out there, and all right, thank you very much.